today's daily briefing is about infrastructure becoming the story. Not infrastructure in the abstract, but the pieces that decide whether local agents feel reliable, the model runtime, the serving surface, the network boundary, the Linux host underneath it, and the navigation systems we trust without thinking about them. Short pause.
Right. This is not a day built around one guy and product announcement. It is a day where small operational details have practical consequences. A cached model inspection path can change how quickly an editor or agent feels responsive. A local privilege escalation can matter a lot on shared hosts, even when it sounds local only. A home lab network rebuild can teach more than a generic buying guide. The connective tissue is operational judgment.
Let's start with Alama. The release note says that the model show API response is now cached with a claimed median latency improvement of about 6.7 times. That sounds like a small back-end detail. Why is it the lead story?
Because local AI workflows are not just the moment when a model generates text. A lot of the experience is orchestration around that moment. Editors ask what models exist. Agents ask what capabilities are available. Dashboards ask for metadata. Launchers prepare requests. If those metadata calls are slow, the whole stack feels sluggish even if generation speed is fine. So caching that path can improve the perceived responsiveness of the whole local loop.
So the real claim is not, Alama is suddenly a totally different engine. It is that one common integration path may become less sticky.
Exactly. And that matters for Chris's setup, because Hermes, Alama, local dense models, tool calls, and editor integrations all sit on top of those repeated runtime queries. A model runtime can be technically capable and still feel clumsy if every integration has to wait for metadata. This release is a reminder that the boring API surfaces around the model often decide whether the system feels usable.
The release also changes the Claude Desktop launch integration. Alama Launch no longer includes Claude Desktop by default because that third-party integration is limited to Anthropic models. There is a restore command for people who need to put Claude Desktop back to normal. How should we interpret that?
I read it as boundary setting. A local runtime should not pretend that every desktop integration has the same semantics. If a third-party integration is limited to one provider's model family, bundling it into a generic local runtime workflow can create confusion. The healthier behavior is to make the boundary explicit, provide a restore path, and keep the local runtime from overreaching into an external tool that does not actually support the same model surface.
That is a subtle but important operational theme. Maturity sometimes looks like removing a too broad integration, not adding another feature.
Yes, the early phase of tooling often rewards integrations that feel magical. The more production-like phase rewards integrations that say what they actually support. For a local agent stack, that difference matters. You want launch behavior, backup behavior, image runner layout, and model metadata to be predictable. The fewer surprises at the runtime boundary, the easier it is to root work confidently.
The skeptical note in the briefing is also important. The 6.7 times number is a release note claim. What would a real verification look like?
I would test it where the latency actually matters. Start the runtime cold. Hit the model show path from a real integration or a small harness. Repeat it warm. Then compare the timing from the perspective of the tool that depends on it, not just from a standalone curl call. The practical question is whether VS Code, Hermes, or a local dashboard starts faster or refreshes more smoothly. If the improvement only appears in a narrow synthetic path, it is less useful.
That test-first framing is important because this briefing is not asking us to believe every release note. It is saying the release note names a concrete thing worth measuring.
Right. The action is not to upgrade blindly and celebrate. The action is to treat the cached path as an observable hypothesis. Does it reduce startup friction? Does it reduce repeated polling overhead? Does it make a multi-agent workflow feel less laggy when several tools ask about the same models? Those are real questions, and they are cheap enough to answer locally.
Now let's widen from the local model runtime to the Linux substrate. The second major item is DirtyFrag, a local privilege escalation discussion around Linux. Local-only vulnerabilities can sound less urgent than remote exploits. Why did this make the cut?
Because local-only is not the same as low impact. A lot of real systems run untrusted or semi-trusted code locally. Think CI runners, container hosts, build machines, multi-user servers, shared research boxes, and SaaS infrastructure. If an attacker gets code execution as a low privilege user on one of those systems, a local privilege escalation can become the step that turns a contained foothold into root control.
So the threat model determines the severity.
Exactly. On a single user desktop that is patched quickly, the risk may be modest. On a host that runs workloads for multiple trust boundaries, it is a different story. The briefing's useful distinction is that ordinary desktop users should patch. But shared Linux environments need a more active posture. Those systems should be inventoried, patched, and treated as places where local exploitability can become infrastructure compromise.
The source also had community reaction about disclosure timing and exploit availability. There was concern that publishing a working path to root so quickly after disclosure may not feel responsible. How much weight should that carry?
It should provide texture, not become the factual center. The facts are the vulnerability class, affected environments, patch status, and the existence of exploit guidance. The reaction tells us how practitioners think about operational risk. If administrators have only a short window before exploit details become widely usable, patch priority changes, but outrage does not replace the technical assessment. It just helps explain why defenders care about timing.
For Chris's environment, what is the practical checklist?
First, identify shared Linux hosts, container machines, build runners, public-facing boxes, anything that runs code from more than one trust boundary. Second, check kernel and distribution patch status. Third, look for places where low-privilege code execution is easier than it should be, like permissive CI jobs or broad shell access. Fourth, avoid spending the same amount of attention on well-maintained single-user machines unless they are also part of a sensitive workflow.
That also connects back to local AI. Agents in automation often run code. If the host boundary is weak, the agent boundary is weaker than it looks.
Yes, the agent does not live in a cloud of pure language. It lives on a machine. If the agent can run tools, write files, call shells, or trigger builds, the underlying host security matters. A local privilege escalation is not an AI-specific vulnerability, but it changes the risk of AI-enabled workflows because those workflows can increase the amount of automated local execution.
Let's move to the home lab and networking lane. One source was a network security engineer describing a home network rebuild, moving away from Ubiquiti and putting a Palo Alto firewall at the edge as a real-life lab. Why is a forum post worth attention in a daily briefing?
Because it is not just a shopping list. It is a practitioner explaining how they turn a home network into an operational training environment. The useful parts are the choices and the trade-offs, segmentation, identity, wireless behavior, edge firewalling, documentation, and the tension between professional grade controls and domestic complexity. For someone maintaining a home lab, that kind of lived architecture can be more valuable than a generic product comparison.
The briefing also notes that Cloud CLI helped the author document the process. That is a small detail, but it feels relevant.
It is relevant because it shows a practical use of an agentic tool in infrastructure work. Not replacing the network engineer, but capturing decisions, documenting changes, and making the rebuild easier to reason about. That is a grounded agent use case. A human expert does the architecture and execution, while the assistant helps preserve context and turn a messy project into durable documentation.
That maps closely onto the way Chris uses Hermes and the wiki. The work itself matters, but the record of the work compounds.
Exactly. A home lab gets fragile when all of the knowledge lives in the operator's memory. Why is this VLAN here? Why does this firewall rule exist? Which service depends on which DNS entry? If an agent helps write that down as the work happens, it turns infrastructure into a maintained system rather than a pile of clever one, off choices. That is not hype, it is documentation discipline with a better interface.
The second networking item was more troubleshooting oriented. Someone setting up FFSNs with dynamic DNS, reverse proxying, and hosted services. The source is more of a help request than a polished architecture essay. What makes it useful?
It is useful because it represents the messy middle of self-hosting. The person is not asking, what is the perfect network? They are trying to make several real pieces cooperate, PFSense, dynamic DNS, a reverse proxy, a true NAS server, and services they want to expose or reach safely. That is the actual shape of many home lab problems. The hard part is not one tool. It is the boundary between naming, routing, certificates, firewall rules, and service placement.
So the lesson is about sequence and responsibility boundaries.
Yes. First decide what should be reachable from outside at all, then decide where TLS terminates, then decide how names resolve internally and externally, then decide which firewall rules permit traffic, then document the flow from public name to reverse proxy to internal service. If you skip that model and just add rules until something works, you can create a network that functions today, but is impossible to audit later.
That sounds like the same broader theme again. Local systems become safer when their control boundaries are explicit.
Exactly. Ulama's release is about runtime and integration boundaries. Dirty Frag is about privilege boundaries on Linux hosts. The Fessin story is about network boundaries. The Home Network Rebuild is about operational boundaries in a lab. Different domains, same lesson. If the system boundary is implicit, you will eventually debug it under stress.
Let's bring in the related explainer. Global positioning beyond GPS. At first glance, GNSS systems feel like a side topic. Why include a Hackaday piece about navigation systems in this slate?
Because it is a good example of infrastructure dependency hiding in plain sight. People say GPS, but the broader category is satellite navigation, and multiple countries or regions operate their own systems. The point is not just trivia. It is that modern devices rely on a layered positioning infrastructure that is geopolitical, technical, and operational. When you understand that, you stop treating one familiar acronym as the whole system.
The briefing's topic bridge is Linux and system software to cybersecurity and infrastructure risk. How does navigation fit that bridge?
It fits as an infrastructure literacy item. The same habit that helps with Linux hosts and home lab networks helps with navigation systems. Ask what dependency you are really relying on, who operates it, what alternatives exist, and what happens when one layer is degraded. GPS became the everyday shorthand, but it is not the only constellation. Understanding that makes the infrastructure feel less magical and more inspectable.
So, it is not the main story. It is the explainer that trains the same muscle.
Right. It is a lower priority item, but it belongs because the day's theme is operational dependency. If you are thinking clearly about local AI infrastructure, network boundaries, and Linux host risk, it is useful to also remember that physical world systems have similar hidden dependencies. Positioning, timing, and navigation all become assumptions in other systems. The names change, but the reliability question is familiar.
Let's return to the audio-worthy shape of the day. The written briefing labeled this a current-led 30-minute episode because there are multiple lanes with source-back detail. Do you agree with that after walking through it?
I agree with the condition, with a caveat. The day supports a focused episode if we keep the argument tight. The strongest current lanes are Ulama's runtime update and the Linux escalation risk. The home lab items make a good operational bridge. The GNSS item should stay as a short explainer, not expand into a full history lesson. If we try to give every item equal weight, the episode becomes a grab bag. If we use them to explain infrastructure judgment, it works.
That is a good distinction. The episode is not five unrelated stories. It is one operating principle illustrated five ways.
Exactly. The operating principle is that mature local systems are built around explicit boundaries and measurable claims. Runtime metadata should be fast enough to support real integrations. Desktop launch behavior should not pretend to support tools it does not. Shared Linux hosts should be patched according to their trust model. Home lab networks should be designed as documented flows, not just working cables. Navigation infrastructure should be understood as a system, not a magic label.
For the deep dive, I want to stay with Ulama a little longer. What would make this kind of release matter more over time?
It matters more if the local runtime becomes the common coordination layer for several tools at once. Imagine an editor, a voice workflow, a research agent, and a dashboard all asking about models. If each call is slow or inconsistent, users experience friction before any reasoning starts. As local stacks grow, metadata, discovery, and model selection become core infrastructure. Small improvements there compound because every integration touches them.
And if the release does not produce visible improvement in those workflows?
Then it is still a useful data point, but not a major stack change. That is why the verification posture matters. Measure it with the real integration path. Check whether cold start behavior changes. Check whether repeated model show requests become less noticeable. Check whether the desktop launch adjustment avoids confusion. The right response is practical instrumentation, not excitement or dismissal.
There is also a model routing implication. Chris has been leaning toward a unified local dense model architecture because tool calling and flash attention are reliable. Does this kind of runtime polish reinforce that direction?
It can. A unified architecture needs the serving layer to be boring in the best sense, predictable, quick to inspect, easy to recover, and explicit about integration boundaries. If the local runtime improves those qualities, it strengthens the case for routing more routine agent work through it, but it does not remove the need to compare other serving stacks. The routing question remains empirical: what model, what runtime, what workload, and what failure mode?
That is where the VLLM-style serving world stays relevant, even if it is not one of today's selected top stories. The general lesson is that the runtime is part of the model choice.
Yes, but for today we should keep it as a background lesson. The selected evidence is about Alama's local runtime polish. The broader inference is that model quality is only one layer. You also care about metadata paths, launch behavior, memory behavior, batching, and operational fit. For local personal agents, the low friction path may matter more than raw throughput. For batch serving, throughput may matter more. The runtime decides which trade-off you are actually making.
Let's make the security piece equally concrete. Suppose you run a home lab with a few containers, a NAS, a reverse proxy, and maybe a build runner. What changes because of the dirty frag style risk?
The main change is prioritization. If a machine runs workloads that come from the internet, from users, from automation, or from repositories you do not fully control, treat kernel patching as part of the exposure boundary. A local escalation needs a local foothold, but many modern workflows create footholds all the time. Containers, build jobs, plug-in systems, and test runners all execute code. That makes host patching more urgent than it might look from the word local.
And the home lab network stories show how easy it is for boundaries to blur.
They do. You may have a firewall, a reverse proxy, a DNS provider, an internal DNS zone, a NAS, a container host, and a handful of services. Each one has a partial view of the access model. The operator has to make the whole chain coherent. If dynamic DNS points to the edge must know what it forwards. If the reverse proxy terminates TLS, the backend trust model has to be understood. If a service stores sensitive data, segmentation matters.
That is where documentation stops being optional.
Exactly. Documentation is not just a handoff artifact, it is a design tool. Writing the flow down reveals contradictions, a rule that is too broad, a name that resolves differently inside and outside, a service exposed before authentication is clear, or a backup path that nobody tested. The forum post for Claude CLI helped document the rebuild is interesting because it shows an agent helping with that design tool, not merely generating prose after the fact.
We should also talk about what not to do with today's briefing. There is a temptation to overgeneralize from each source. What are the limits?
For Alama, do not treat one release note as proof of a universal local stack improvement until it is measured. For DirtyFrag, do not treat community anger as the technical fact. For the home lab posts, do not copy someone else's architecture without matching your own threat model and skill level. For GNSS, do not turn a background explainer into a crisis. The value is in sharpening judgment, not extracting grand conclusions from limited sources.
That caveat is especially important because some of the briefing sources are primary, and some are curated or community material.
Yes, source quality should change how confidently we speak. The Alama release is primary, but its performance claim should still be tested in context. The Linux item has an underlying security source plus community reaction, so we can separate fact from reaction. The homeland posts are practitioner reports, useful for patterns but not universal prescriptions. The GNSS article is a useful explainer, not a breaking infrastructure alert.
Let's turn that into a listener checklist. If someone has 10 minutes after hearing this episode, what should they do first?
If they run Alama, check whether the latest release is relevant to their workflow, and plan a quick metadata path test before and after upgrade. If they administer Linux hosts, identify which systems are shared or automation-heavy and confirm patch status. If they expose home lab services, sketch the path from public name to internal service and mark where authentication, TLS, DNS, and firewalling happen. If any of that is undocumented, write the flow down.
And if they have an hour?
Turn the checklist into durable operations. Add a small measurement note for a Llama integration latency. Add a patch status note for shared Linux hosts. Create a diagram or markdown page for the reverse proxy flow. Record the reasoning behind any segmentation or firewall rule. The goal is not to finish the perfect architecture in an hour. It is to make the system more inspectable than it was before.
That word, inspectable, feels like the center of the briefing.
It is. An inspectable system is one where you can ask what is running, what boundary it crosses, what claim you are relying on, and what evidence would change your mind. A Llama's cached model show path improves inspectability if it makes model metadata faster to access. Security advisories improve inspectability if they update the patch posture. Home lab documentation improves inspectability if it captures the actual path traffic takes.
The watch list deltas support that. Local inference is active. Home lab and networking are active. Linux and system software are active. Agent memory and durable knowledge are quieter today, but the documentation pattern still touches that topic.
Right. Quiet does not mean irrelevant. The durable knowledge angle appears through documentation and workflow, not through a new memory system release. That is why the briefing should not force every topic into the top section. It should notice when a quieter topic appears as an implication. Today, documentation is the bridge between networking, security, and agent workflows.
Before the close, let's revisit the strongest skeptical question. Is this really enough for a 30-minute episode, or are we stretching?
It is enough if the episode remains a focused infrastructure discussion. The risk of stretching appears if we pretend the GPS explainer is equal to the Linux escalation, or if we repeat the Llama release note without adding operational interpretation. The better shape is what we have done here. One lead about local runtime polish, one security lane about host risk, one home lab lane about boundary design, and one short explainer about hidden infrastructure dependency.
So the final takeaway is not upgrade everything, panic about everything, or redesign the home lab tonight.
Exactly. The takeaway is to make the stack easier to reason about. Measure the local runtime claims that matter to your workflow. Patch the shared hosts first. Treat dynamic DNS and reverse proxies as explicit access paths, not magic tunnels. Let agents help with documentation, but keep the human responsible for threat modeling. And remember that every system you rely on has a substrate that deserves attention.
That is the daily briefing for May 8th. The lead item is Llama's latest release because it touches the responsiveness of local integrations. The risk item is DirtyFrag because local escalation matters on shared Linux substrate. The practical operations thread is home lab networking and documentation. The explainer is that hidden infrastructure dependencies from GNSS to reverse proxies deserve names and boundaries.
The thing to watch next is whether these small infrastructure updates compound into a cleaner local agent stack. If the cached Llama path improves real Hermes adjacent workflows, it is worth recording. If Linux patch posture or network documentation exposes a weak spot, fix that first. And if agents are going to operate more of the stack, keep making the stack inspectable enough for both humans and machines to verify.
Before we close, I want to spend one more minute on how to turn this from a set of stories into a repeatable operating habit. The daily temptation is to collect updates. The better habit is to convert updates into checks. What check does each story create?
For a Llama, the check is measurement. Do not just note the release. Measure whether the cache model metadata path changes real startup or integration latency. For DirtyFrag, the check is exposure. Which Linux hosts run untrusted or semi-trusted code, and are they patched? For PSSense and reverse proxying, the check is path clarity. Can you explain how a request moves from public DNS to the final service without waving your hands?
And for the home network rebuild story, the check is whether documentation keeps up with architecture.
Yes, a sophisticated home network can become brittle if only one person understands it. VLANs, firewall zones, identity systems, wireless segmentation, and edge devices all create decisions that need names. If an assistant helps capture those names during the build, it becomes part of the operating loop. But the assistant should not be the source of authority. It should preserve the operator's reasoning and make it easier to review later.
That seems like a useful distinction for agent workflows in general. Agents are good at expanding and recording context, but the human still owns the threat model.
Exactly. If an agent suggests a firewall rule, the human has to know what trust boundary it crosses. If an agent summarizes a vulnerability, the human has to map it onto real hosts. If an agent writes documentation, the human has to check whether it reflects the actual network. The valuable workflow is not delegation without oversight. It is faster context capture plus clearer verification.
There is a rhythm here that could be applied every day. Source, claim, boundary, test.
That is a good shorthand. Source, where did the update come from, and how strong is it? Claim, what exactly is being asserted? Boundary, which system or trust boundary does it affect? Test, what cheap observation would confirm that it matters in your environment? Today's stories all become more useful when you run them through that sequence.
Let's try it on the lead. Source, the Llama GitHub release. Claim, model show responses are cached and median latency improves materially. Boundary, local runtime metadata used by integrations. Test, time cold and warm model show calls through the actual tools that depend on them.
Good. DirtyFrag follows the same structure. Source, the security posting plus practitioner discussion. Claim, a local escalation path may affect Linux systems. Boundary hosts where local code execution crosses a meaningful trust boundary. Test, inventory shared hosts, check patch status, and identify where untrusted code can run. The claim becomes operational only when it touches a specific machine class.
For the network posts, source quality is different. They are practitioner narratives and troubleshooting threads, not official specifications.
Right, so the claim should be softer. Source, a network engineer's rebuild, and a PSN's help request. Claim, real home lab complexity lives in segmentation, naming, reverse proxying, documentation, and service placement. Boundary, the edge between public internet, internal services, and administrative access. Test, draw the path, then compare the diagram against actual firewall rules and DNS behavior.
And for the GNSS explainer, the test is less immediate, but the mental model still matters.
Yes. Source, a technical explainer. Claim, GPS is only one part of a larger global navigation satellite ecosystem. Boundary, assumptions about positioning and timing infrastructure. And a test, in a system that depends on location or time. Ask whether it assumes one constellation, one receiver behavior, or one provider. You may not change anything today, but the dependency becomes visible.
That source claim boundary test frame also helps avoid overreacting. A high-severity story with no path into your environment may be watchlist. A small release note that hits your daily workflow may deserve immediate measurement.
Exactly. Significance is not just how loud the internet is. It is the combination of source strength, affected boundary, and decision impact. That is why a cached API path can be more relevant to Chris than a bigger headline outside the stack. The stack context changes the ranking.
This is also a useful way to think about quiet topics in the registry. Agent memory was not a loud news lane today, but durable documentation appeared as a supporting pattern.
That is the compounding value of the briefing. A topic can be quiet in news terms, but active as an implication. The home lab story is not a new memory. System paper, but it shows why durable context matters. The PSN story is not an AI agent launch, but it shows where agent-assisted documentation could reduce future confusion. The registry helps catch those bridges without forcing every topic to become a headline.
So if someone wanted one durable note from today, it would not be a list of URLs. It would be a small operating rubric.
Yes. Make claims measurable. Make boundaries explicit. And make system knowledge durable. That rubric covers local inference, Linux security, home lab networking, and even navigation infrastructure. It is simple enough to remember and specific enough to act on.
That is the final shape of the day. The written links are useful, but the operating habit is the thing to carry forward.
And carrying it forward means writing the checks where the work will actually happen, Put the Alama timing note beside the local model workflow, not in a forgotten scratch file. Put the Linux patch note beside the host inventory. Put the reverse proxy diagram beside the service runbook. The more local the note is to the decision, the more likely it is to get used.
That also changes how future briefings should be consumed. The best outcome is not remembering every source title. It is knowing which source changed a decision, which source only changed a watch posture, and which source simply provided background vocabulary.
Exactly. Alama changes a near-term measurement decision. DirtyFrag changes a patch priority question for shared systems. The network posts change a documentation and architecture review habit. The GNSS explainer changes background literacy. Those are different classes of update, and treating them differently prevents both panic and apathy.
So the compact action line is, measure the local runtime claim, patch the shared substrate, document the network path, and name the hidden dependencies.
That line is intentionally practical. It gives each story a place to land. The update becomes a test. The vulnerability becomes a patch priority. The forum thread becomes a documentation prompt, and the explainer becomes infrastructure literacy instead of trivia. That is enough to make the day useful tomorrow morning. Measure the Alama claim. Patch and classify shared Linux hosts. Draw the network access path. Use agents to preserve the reasoning, not to bypass it. And when an infrastructure acronym feels familiar, whether it is GPS or an API name, ask what system sits underneath it.
We will leave it there. Keep the system boring where it needs to be boring, measurable where claims are made, and explicit wherever a boundary crosses trust today, deliberately. Short pause.